Welcome back to the Pitch Podcast. This is a very good edition because it's a Good Friday edition where tonight Adelaide United are facing a team that sits on the bottom of the Isuzu Ute A-League men's ladder. It's Western United, and our women, of course, are playing beforehand, a doubleheader, which is a great way to start the Easter long weekend. Hopefully we can pack out Hindmarsh Stadium. Before that, it is time to celebrate a guy who has recommitted to the club, and I'm stoked for him. James, now hold on. Now, James Delianov, who I say, but then I've seen you say your name, Delianov, and I just need to know which one it is, because I'm confused.
Whatever you want, Walshy, honestly.
What do you say? What's your family say?
Delianov.
Then I'm Delianov.
But whatever you want, like...
No, it's not a whatever I want, because if your name is Delianov, it's like once everyone thought Joe Gauchy's surname was Joe Gorsi.
Yeah. I remember that, actually. We had a big conversation with Joey about his name.
Yes. So, congratulations, mate. I couldn't be more stoked for you. It gives you certainty. It gives you security, which I know you probably haven't had much of that for a lot of your career. So you spoke really well via the club when it was announced. And I wanted to ask you, is that pretty accurate saying that? Security and a bit of comfort, which is important to you as a, you know, mid-20s bloke?
Yeah, of course. I'm absolutely buzzing, obviously, to have signed on. And, yeah, just want to obviously achieve all our goals going forward. But, yeah, first and foremost, just really excited to get cracking, I guess, and continue on what we're doing.
Can I ask where you were at this time last year? Because this time last year, Joe was playing. The discussion of him to be even part of a national team setup, it was floated, but I don't think he had yet made an appearance for the national team. And then you were sitting as the second choice keeper, which I think is probably the most frustrating role in a football club to actually be part of that. Did you have to start thinking about, okay, what does this look like for me moving forward, whether it's at Adelaide or whether it's somewhere else, because you want to be playing football?
Yeah, of course. I think it's a no-brainer that every young footballer wants to be playing football. Definitely crossed my mind. I was kind of in the mentality just to push every day, push Joey, and yeah, know that my opportunity was going to come eventually, whether it was here at another club. And I'm grateful that it's here, and yeah, really looking forward to what the future holds.
We spoke about, I think, the last time we did the podcast on the sliding doors moments where you come to the club as the first choice keeper, and then you've had some pretty significant injuries in your career on all parts of your body, which is it's a real shame. But the way that you've handled it, I feel, really is a testament to you and talks about resilience. So do you find that to be patient and almost bide your time is something that you've become familiar with, whether it's being selected or whether it's recovering from injury?
Yeah, for sure. I could even take you back to when I was 14 years old trying to get into the national team with the under-16s. It's kind of similar where, you know, there's so many setbacks as a goalkeeper. There's always going to be one playing at a time. And, obviously you build character as with more setbacks you experience, I guess. And yeah, for sure. You know, it's just a massive learning curve, and just, you know, you got to just stay on path and keep working hard and just know that your chance is going to come. And when it does, just kind of got to take it with both hands.
We had heaps of keepers, and then now we've got hardly any. But what I love is that Hawley's gone, Joe's gone, but Ethan Cox also gets an opportunity to work alongside you, and he's an outstanding keeper. Can you tell us a little bit about Ethan and what it's like to work with him on the training track?
Yeah, it's been really enjoyable. Obviously, Coxie's been here since I first signed at the club, and he's an absolute beast, mate. You see him in the gym. He's, you know, he works hard. He's got the right mentality, and I love that. It definitely pushes me, and he's just a good kid in general. So it's been really enjoyable working with him and trying to help him develop his game, and yeah, it's really exciting.
Is it accurate when they say no matter how much training you can do, when you get into an actual game situation, everything changes?
Yeah, for sure. I think you can become a really good trainer and, you know, save everything, I guess, but in a game it's a different feeling, different emotion. I feel like even for myself, you see me kind of improve as games have gone on. I think it's, you can train as hard as you want and whatnot, but you know, the game situations, it's hard to replicate in training. So
were you nervous first game back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. I think
but like a good
half,
nervous?
Yeah, of course. I think you've even asked half the players, even the older boys, they'll still get nervous. It's like, it means so much to you. You know, you always obviously want to do well. It's just about finding that balance, I guess, of having those good nerves that are going to keep you sharp, but also having that confidence to say you're going to go out there and do a job and do it well. So,
but nothing is also guaranteed in football. So I wanted to ask you your mindset when you found out that Joe was moving over to Aston Villa, because potentially, I'm just saying potentially, the club could have said, we've just sold Joe and we're going to buy another keeper as the number one. That may have happened. So what goes through your mind? Or do you just go straight away, now's my time?
Yeah, obviously I was buzzing for Joey to be going over there. It's a massive move, even just for the league in general. But for me personally, it was more, yeah, this is kind of my time of, you know, bit the bullet and just waited for so long and, yeah, just kind of worked hard and kept pushing. Those definitely had my days for sure. I'm not going to lie to you, but, yeah, it's kind of just the mentality shifted. This is my chance and, yeah, just try to take it.
So I want to talk about the first couple of games. For you, where do you think your biggest growth areas are as a keeper? Because as we said, we've got you for the next couple of years at least, which is awesome. And everything going well for you, that might be even shorter if opportunities come overseas. It's a reality of football.
Yep.
But where do you, and working alongside you, see areas where you need to improve and have area to improve?
I think just becoming more team-orientated, like demanding more from the boys and having that presence behind them of, you know, there's a number one keeper behind him and he's going to have their back. That's something we've spoken about.
Are you quite vocal too? Like you're yelling out? Is that something that you...
I voice every game, man.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's difficult though. Like depending on where you play, if the Red Army's loud and whatnot, it's hard to get the message across sometimes. But that's just, you know, you form that connection with the boys as time goes on, I guess, and they get used to hearing your voice. So, yeah, looking forward to obviously doing that when it's back in the season now.
How do you go with the Red Army and our fans? Because there was a game a couple of weeks ago where I think there was either an error or we conceded a goal. And I heard from where I was in near the tunnel, they were pretty vocal. And sometimes it's banter, other times it's not banter. But do you hear what's being said? Because I'm someone that is like, hey, support us no matter what, right? Yeah. We're going to have times where players make mistakes or we concede goals. That's the reality of football. But then it's time to kind of really lift a little bit. How do you go with that?
To be honest with you, when you're playing, you're kind of just locked in. Sometimes you do hear the odd comment and might have like a little giggle or something, especially if it's good banter. But I think like with the way we play, with wanting to play out and stuff like that, I feel like the fans can get caught up in just kick it long kind of thing. Like, you know, there's a message and there's a game plan definitely from Carl and above to that we have to stick to. And, yeah, I guess we just got to trust the process. But, yeah, sometimes you hear stuff, sometimes you don't. And sometimes it's good banter. So it's part of it, I guess.
I have some goalkeeping questions to ask you in a moment, but I did want to talk about the game, which is at Coopers against Western United. They are on the bottom of the table, but they're only 3 points behind us. So it's really close at the top. It's really close at the bottom. I can't say this any more strongly that we have to win this game. What's it been like this week throughout training, and has the significance of this game really been drilled into you boys?
Yeah, it's been really good. Like the last 2 weeks, obviously we had a bye, the international break last week. So the boys are fresh and ready to go. We had a good two weeks of training, and every week's felt like that we need a win. We're pushing for finals, and that's always been the goal. So, yeah, we're just going to go out there, give it our best, and, yeah, it's very important that we win, and hopefully we do.
We've got a lot of young players who are contributing to the side as well, which is awesome. I've spoken to the hairdresser, Giuseppe Bovolina, who you've got a fair bit going on with your hair at the moment, which I like. It's a bit longer. Panna's been doing really well. Johnny Yull is making an impact. And I think the thing I like most about Johnny Yull this season is he's pretty much stayed injury-free, which is really, really good. Those kids must give you a lot of confidence. No matter how old they are, they're ready to play.
For sure. I think, as I've always said, it's one strength of the club to identify young talent and young local talent and obviously sell them. But, yeah, those boys have been phenomenal. They've all come in and done an exceptional job, and – yeah, it's been a pleasure working by them. They bring a lot of energy to the squad for sure.
All right, let me ask you some goalkeeping stuff. Is it a strategy, and I'm not saying this is specific to Adelaide United, but if you're not taking the goal kick or an opposition team isn't taking the goal kick and one of the fullbacks is taking that, is that a strategy or is that they might be a better kick in that regard? I've never been able to work that out.
With us, when we give the centre back the ball, it's more of a tactical thing.
Okay.
Playing, keeping the ball central, keeping the options to go either left or right or through the middle. But I think back in the day for sure when there was a centre back taking the goal kick, maybe there's a better kick and they were just trying to boot it as long as possible. But yeah, with us it's definitely more tactical.
And when you say tactical, is that a higher percentage play to move the ball from the back and pass it around? It gets people into the game as opposed to you just bombing it to the halfway line and hoping it lands on a player or a head or goes out?
Yeah, for sure. I think if you've watched our games, you know, we've created many chances, you know, breaking teams down through the middle, keeping the ball on the ground. And, you know, we just about needed to start putting the ball in the back of the net, I feel. Because, yeah, it is enjoyable to play in that system. It is obviously high risk. But, yeah, there's definitely a massive tactic to it.
Who tells you if the scores are level in the 93rd minute? Do you look at Huge to say, I'm going up for the corner, or do you make that call yourself?
To be honest with you, I haven't gone up for a corner. I definitely would make sure it's all good with the coaching staff before doing it, just in case something happens. But yeah, I haven't gone up, and I do want to be honest.
Yes. Now, this never happens with us, but I think one of Carl and Millsy's bugbears is watching the opposition keeper hold on to the football and take forever to kick it out. Is this a strategy, a tactic where it seems like, and I think this happened with Paul Izzo in the victory game, you're prepared to copy yellow if it's going to waste time. So is that something that you need to actually start thinking about those things, whatever you can do within the rules, and then if you have to get a yellow, then you just do it?
Yeah, for sure. At the end of the day, you want to win the football match. It is frustrating, though, when you see opposition teams that you know they're not going to play out from the back, take their time as if they are going to play out from the back. And we've made the referees aware of it and, you know, try to get them onto it. I'm not going to name no names, but, yeah, it's definitely a game management thing and, yeah, just about winning mentality for sure. You know, the main thing is that you get the 3 points, so anything for that really.
All right. Now, what's happening off the field? What are you doing to not focus on football when you don't need to? Are you playing any golf still?
Yeah, a little bit of golf. I kind of slowed down at the start of the season, especially when preseason was on. It was really tough, just in terms of energy and whatnot. But not pretty standard, to be honest. Go to the beach, chill out, bit of PlayStation.
What are you playing on PlayStation?
Anything, really. I do like a story mode game, to be honest.
Okay.
Bit of Red Dead Redemption. I know it's an old game, but...
Is that like the Western GTA?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's actually pretty cool. But I do like my Madden...
Really? You're an NFL guy, are you?
Massive NFL guy, yeah. And NBA as well, to be honest. But
okay. What do you like about the NFL? You understand it? You can sit down?
Yeah, of course. 100%. Just that it's so tactical, to be honest. Like, all about getting your good plays in good positions to make plays. I know it can look like just big men running into each other, but if you can kind of get your head around that and get your head around the big decisions that coach has got to make and stuff, it's really interesting. So
you also fancy yourself as a table tennis player, don't you?
No, definitely not.
You bad?
Terrible. It's probably one sport that I just didn't pick up that well.
Did we play against each other at Juan De's house before he left?
Yeah, but see, that day I don't even think I jumped on because...
Yeah, because you were
too... You know why? Juan De is just a good player. So is Harvey.
Mm. You know what Juan De wasn't good at was inviting people because Juan De accidentally invited a guy... that wasn't supposed to be there because someone had the same name as him.
Oh my god,
that was That's very good
classic, man.
So you're living in that area at the moment still, which is wonderful. So you're in a pretty close setup to Bruiser and Luke and Harvey, is that right? You're still
we call ourselves the Burnham Boys. We're all close. Obviously Quande was a part of that last year. Oh, sorry, I still can't get over.
It's hilarious.
He's invited, to be honest. Yeah, it's been good. It's a good lifestyle there.
Let me ask you before we wrap up. I ask everybody this. Do you think we underappreciate Javi Lopez and his football pedigree in Adelaide, in Australia, about like how brilliant he is?
100%. I think it's credit to him. He's so humble. And you don't even, if you didn't know, you wouldn't really, I guess, like click that he's had such a phenomenal career. Good guy. I obviously take him into training every morning. It's been a pleasure. I call him my life coach.
Yeah, he is, yeah. He's,
literally, I drive 30 minutes of training up and back. He's top, and we for sure undervalue him. And I really hope he can stick around for sure.
I've got lots of great Javi Lopez memories, but one of the most powerful things I've seen was that when he lost his cool against Diamante a couple of years ago. But he lost his cool because he said to Diamante, these fans pay to come and watch us play, go and meet the fans. And I'm like, wow, like that's pretty epic.
Yeah, for sure. He definitely has a lot of power when he talks. He's experienced a lot. Even the other week of him being our captain, I think it was against...
Yeah, there was a victory game, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like it seemed like it was like all-time stakes for him. You know, he obviously being a captain at Espanyol, you could tell he really wanted to do well for us.
And yeah.
We really wanted to work for him, which was good. So, top guy, man.
Well, congratulations, James Delianov. You're sticking around at the club. I love that, which is awesome. Good luck in the match against Western. Let's hope we can get the 3 points. And congratulations, mate, because I honestly think a lot of other people probably would have taken the easy way out. You could have ended up at Canberra United and they might not even have a team anymore. So we don't even know that. But it's hard work and perseverance paying off. You've done it probably not the way that you thought would happen when you first signed for the club, but you're here now, which is absolutely brilliant. So congratulations and good luck.
Thanks, Walshy. Appreciate it, mate.